Some analysts believe that Bitcoin could be gearing up for a new all-time high this week, and Do Kwon has been released from prison. Good morning. You're listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph with me, Robert Baggs, steering you through the crypto cosmos with daily dispatches from the digital frontier. If you want to stay ahead of the curve in crypto, make sure you click that follow button. Okay, grab yourself a coffee and let's get into it. So it was a bit of a quiet weekend for Bitcoin's price, but as always, there is plenty to catch you up on. So I'm going to start with William Suberg's five things to know in Bitcoin this week. Then we're going to look at the latest on the European Union fighting anonymous crypto transactions. The restaurant worker in London who was caught with $2.5 billion worth of Bitcoin is found guilty. And the Terra Luna founder Do Kwon is released from prison in Montenegro. So Friday, Saturday and Sunday saw Bitcoin's price stay broadly within the same parameters, dipping to high $63,000 and up to mid $66,000, though at 7 a.m. Eastern we have crept into $67,000. William Suberg has put together his excellent weekly serial, Five Things to Know About Bitcoin This Week, and it's really worth a full read, so click the link in the description, but I want to give you my highlights. Firstly, the spot Bitcoin ETFs are going to likely be front and center again this week, but hopefully in a more positive light. Last week was a strange one as we saw five consecutive days of negative flows, courtesy of the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. Though every day last week, GBTC had lower outflows than the day before, although it did start the week with $642.5 million worth of outflows. As we discussed last week, several people drew a connection between the spike in outflows and the bankruptcy of Genesis. So hopefully we're going to find our way back to positive flows this week. The GBTC is still called Bitcoin's biggest headwind, as crypto author Vijay Boyapati put it this weekend, adding that the whole ecosystem is going to be much healthier when GBTC has zero assets under management. For now though, Grayscale still has deep pockets filled with Bitcoin, and although they're hemorrhaging it, the price isn't moving accordingly. Thomas Farah, the CEO of crypto-focused reviews portal Apollo, wrote, GBTC sold 31,000 BTC last week and the price fell around 1%, adding that incredible demand to soak up that sell pressure. Another point that William Suberg made in this article is one I've been tracking myself for a while. Mainstream interest in Bitcoin is still lackluster if you go by the data from Google Trends. Despite Bitcoin's price hitting multiple new all-time highs, the search interest doesn't go anywhere near the enormous spikes of 2021. And perhaps more informative than that, the search intensity we have seen is already seriously waning. As of 7 a.m. Eastern, the Crypto Fear and Greed Index has a rating right on the precipice of extreme greed, and that rating is 75, with extreme greed starting at 76. Yet it seems that the mainstream FOMO is still missing. So if and when that comes back, who knows where we'll go next? In terms of attention, one story reigned supreme this weekend. It was covered by Amakut Nwal Kocha on the new regulations over crypto transactions in the European Union. This is potentially impactful the world over, but obviously so for countries within the EU, from where a decent portion of our listeners reside, according to the stats. So it initially seemed that a majority of the European Parliament's lead committees had approved a ban on anonymous crypto transactions over €1,000 through hosted wallets. Hosted wallets are anywhere a third party holds the private keys, such as an exchange like Coinbase or Binance. This was suggested as a way of expanding the EU's anti-money laundering, AML, and counter-terrorist financing laws to cover crypto. However, it turns out that this €1,000 limit was actually scrapped, though the fight against anonymity wasn't. Exchanges and digital asset service providers in the EU must perform customer due diligence, that is, identity verification checks on users. I'll quote the official document here. It says, apply customer due diligence measures when carrying out an occasional transaction that amounts to the value of at least €1,000 or the equivalent in national currency, whether the transaction is carried out in a single operation or through linked transactions. So these new laws will run alongside the Markets in Crypto Assets Regulation, MiCA, laws that focuses on privacy coins such as Monero. Essentially, the EU is still pushing to lift the veil on most crypto usage. This latest update could have myriad effects, including anonymous donations to activists, whistleblowers, and causes, not to mention the removal of one's right to financial privacy. Dr. Patrick Breyer voted against this motion, and his comments are worth hearing. I will link to the full statement in the description and give you a shortened version. Generally, prohibiting anonymous payments would at best have minimal effects on crime, but it would deprive innocent citizens of their financial freedom. The medicines or sex toys I buy is nobody's business. To collect donations, dissidents such as the late Alexei Navalny and his wife are increasingly reliant on anonymous donations in virtual currencies worldwide. WikiLeaks has already been cut off from donations by credit card companies. Where every financial transaction is captured and saved forever, this creates a honeypot for malicious hackers and law enforcement, as well as a chilling government shadow over every purchase or donation. This EU war on cash will have nasty repercussions. We have a right to pay and donate online without our personal transactions being recorded. If the EU believes it can regulate virtual currencies at a regional level, it hasn't understood the global nature of the internet. It's a really thought-provoking statement, but it's worth noting that not all feel as strongly as Dr. Breyer, and some see this as a necessary evil to stop money laundering and terrorist financing. So what do you think? Share your opinion with us on @Cointelegraph and @RKBags on X. I have an update for you on what I would say is a top 5 craziest story I have ever featured on Ryzen Crypto. It's the UK court case involving the seizure of well over $1 billion worth of Bitcoin from somebody who worked in a Chinese restaurant. I'm going to give you a quick TLDR of the story, but in the description of this episode, under references, I've linked to the episode on the 1st of February where I go through the whole story. Jian Wen, a Chinese national and British citizen, was working in a Chinese takeaway in southeast London and living in a room beneath it. Then, suddenly, Wen was looking to buy a $30 million 7-bed mansion in Hampstead with a seemingly bottomless pile of Bitcoin, and the authorities had a few questions. The Bitcoin was traced back to an investment fraud scheme back in China between 2014 and 2017 by Zimin Qian, who was in England under a false identity and was using Wen to launder the Bitcoin. Authorities eventually arrested Wen, and she was renting a house that cost approximately $21,420 per month, and 48 electronic devices were seized, which held $2.5 billion worth of Bitcoin. The UK police claim that the seizure was the largest of its kind in the UK. Well, the court case is drawing to a close now, and Wen has been found guilty in a specialist court of money laundering and has been convicted of entering into or becoming concerned in a money laundering arrangement, and sentencing is to take place on the 10th of May. Meanwhile, Qian, who seemingly vanished as soon as the police turned up, is still missing and likely not in the country anymore. What will happen to the $2.5 billion worth of Bitcoin remains to be seen. The US government holds an enormous amount of seized Bitcoin, and now the UK has a pretty big pot too. There was one more part of this story that was a little bit irritating that I wanted to flag, and that's what Chief Crown Prosecutor Andrew Penhale had to say after the case. He said, "Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are increasingly being used by organised criminals to disguise and transfer assets so that fraudsters may enjoy the benefits of their criminal conduct." Now, the most generous way of reading that is that the statement is true if you stretch the timeline out, as crypto has only really come to fruition in the past decade or so. But I'm pretty confident that Andrew Penhale is going the Senator Elizabeth Warren route of suggesting crypto is the go-to choice of money for criminals, and multiple reports contradict that, including a recent risk assessment by the United States Treasury Department, which found that cash is the preferred method. Since I last spoke about Do Kwon, the founder of the failed algorithmic stablecoin Terra USD, which saw a $40 billion collapse, there have been a number of small updates. I last told you that Kwon, who has been held in Montenegro for some months after being caught travelling with fake papers, was finally being extradited to the US. Then this changed to South Korea, who is also keen on prosecuting Kwon. And since then, it's been kind of back and forth, and now Kwon has been released from prison. The man who vanished when Terra Luna collapsed and was travelling using fake documents has been released from prison in Montenegro, but don't worry, he isn't allowed to leave the country. The prison director, Darko Vukcevic, reportedly said, "We released Do Kwon from prison as his regular prison term for travelling with fake papers ended. Since he is a foreign citizen and his documents were withheld, he was taken for an interview to the police directorate for foreigners and they will deal with him further." According to Kwon's lawyer, Goran Rodic, Kwon's passport is being held to prevent him from leaving the country, while the Supreme Court of Montenegro debate the extradition requests from the US and South Korea. Nothing can go wrong here. Nothing at all. Most weeks in crypto are interesting, but it does feel like this one could be big. I think the main thing you should be looking out for today is whether the spot Bitcoin ETFs go back to positive flows. If they do, then maybe we will start hunting down those new all-time highs as some analysts predict. I will be keeping a close eye on this today and I will bring you all of the latest tomorrow morning. Before I go, I do want to apologise for my voice. My two-year-old son is like a very expensive subscription service for monthly colds and coughs. I hope the nasally tone wasn't too grating. But that is it for today, so consider yourself informed. Thank you for listening to the Rise and Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. If you have any thoughts on today's stories, make sure you send them to us on X, on @Cointelegraph, or @RKBags. Okay, have a great Monday. Let's do this again tomorrow.